Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So as we get ready to kick off this brand new message series, there is no way that I'm kicking off a series on marriage without my wife, the co-lead pastor of this church, my wife of almost 24 years. Woo! June is 24 years. We have been in love for over 30 years. Wow. Can we welcome Pastor Ruth to join me today? Come on, let's give her a loud applause. Come on, honey. You look amazing. Thank you. Have a seat. Welcome to our home. So it's okay, we have some fun today, do things a little different. So we're just going to have just sort of like a discussion, some sort of teaching, but we're just going to give you some keys of how we stayed in love for 30 years, because that's amazing. Do you remember when we fell in love, though? Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah?
Yep, you have your story. He has his version.
Well, I'll tell you my version.
So my version.
We fell in love in Middletown, New York. Love does happen here in Middletown, right? And we were students at Orange County Community College, and I was just walking to my class, and there was this woman following me. She followed me to my class. She followed me to lunch. She followed me to the library, and I finally turned around. I'm like, why are you following me?
That's not true. You know it.
You know you wanted to follow me, though.
I didn't even know you were there.
Okay, so, all right, here's the true story. For those of you that don't know how we fell in love, Orange County Community College, that part's right. I parked my car, walked to class, and there was an angel standing on a little hill, and she was glowing. You like that version?
I like that version.
And I said, true story, I said, I got to get to know who she is. And that was the journey of my hunt to find Ruth.
Yes, and then I guess we saw each other in at the bookstore at Ock, and I hear someone say, Ruth. You know, and I'm like, I turn around and it.
Well, I got to know your name from somebody. I found out what your name was.
Okay.
So then I finally.
All right, yeah. Great. Yeah.
I was scoping. I was scoping her out.
He's stalking. So he's like, hey, would you like to go to lunch? And I'm like, no, you know, I didn't really want to go to lunch. And come on, you're hungry. And I'm like, no, I'm not hungry. I don't want to go to lunch. And so he's like, come on. So my girlfriend was with us, and she's like, you know, I'll go to lunch. I said, no, I'll go to lunch if you'll come to lunch.
Go to lunch.
And she said, no, I'm not going to lunch. I went to lunch, and you brought me to this
Beautiful Mexican restaurant. Come on now.
Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
It was Mexican.
Taco Bell. I don't even know if that's real. That's not Mexican.
It's Mexican.
That's college
if
student.
If they have tacos, it's Mexican.
That's college student, broke budget, lunch date.
What can I do?
So it was great, though. I think what made me fall in love was, I guess I wasn't on campus for a couple of days. I wasn't feeling great. And I hear a knock on my door. How he knew where I lived, I have no idea. But so it was a knock on my door, and he brought me homemade soup. Yay. And crackers and a beautiful little teddy bear, and he took care of me. He made sure that I was taken care of, and from that point on, that was it. I was like head over heels. You had me at that point. And what
you said at first service, but that's okay if you forgot.
Sorry. I gave you the most important part. Oh yes. Yes, and his blue eyes. I fell in love with the eyes.
All right, so that's where our journey began. Man, 30 years ago, 31 years ago? 31? Wow, long time. Yeah. So that was falling in love. So we've spent now falling in love and staying in love, right? We've spent 30 years of staying in love. Falling in love is a lot different than staying in love. Falling in love was the easy part. Mm-hmm. And for many couples, falling in love is the easy part. It's the staying in love.
Yes.
That's the hard work of a relationship. Many people think that those feelings and emotions that you get when you fall in love are just going to continue throughout marriage. But one thing you're going to soon realize, as we've learned, as we've been in married for so long, that life happens and there's so many things that come at us. And it's so easy to lose the stickiness in your relationship. So easy to grow apart. Now, what we mean by staying in love, we've always loved each other. You know, we've never stopped loving each other. But this is what we mean by staying in love, is to never lose interest or to stick together through thick and thin. Never lose interest. Stick together through thick and thin, because in any marriage relationship, that is going to be your biggest challenge, to stay connected, to stay interested, to stay committed, because you heard first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby carriage, and then comes all the stress and the running around and bills, and without realizing it, couples are gradually growing apart. Slowly but surely. And if you're going to have a marriage that lasts, it's got to be intentional. You've got to stay committed. And you've got to stay interested. You've got to stay interested. So falling in love is far different than staying in love. Now, people who are falling in love think they have staying in love love. Does that make sense? Right? They think that, oh, because I'm falling in love, that means I have staying in love. And it doesn't happen like that. You have that season of falling in love, but then staying in love, love is developed over time through patience, through prayer, through commitment, right? We just don't naturally stay in love. But people who are staying in love think that those falling in love emotions are going to last forever, but it doesn't. You've got to cultivate the intimacy in a marriage. You got to cultivate intimacy in that relationship. So we're going to just kind of compare and contrast the differences between falling in love and staying in love. Okay? You want to kick us off?
Sure. Okay. So falling in love means thinking everything they do is adorable.
Oh, that cute little sneeze, like, ha-choo!
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I found really adorable, he still does it now, his car. Oh, well, yeah, now I'm like this. But he used to Armor All the wheels, and he still does that. I think do you own stock in Armor All? Because
was I adorable while I was
washing
the car?
Yes, it was a good view there.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would Armor All the wheels, and the inside was shiny, and it smelled so good in there, and he still does that.
Yep,
all these years later, so... Yeah. That was really adorable.
What was adorable for me is that we were on that college budget, and we would go to Wendy's drive-thru and get our Biggie Fry when they used to be big. How many remember Biggie Fries?
Biggie Fries.
And Biggie Drink and two cheeseburgers for $4. And we would split the fries. Oh, just split them. Now it's like, don't touch my fry. After 30 years, don't be touching my fry.
I'll get my own fries.
Don't be touching my fry. Don't be. You put your lips on my straw. Now it's like, you put your lips on. You're drinking from my cup.
Did you brush your teeth?
You brush your teeth. But when you're falling in love, it ain't like that. So what is staying in love? Staying in love means, you ready? Learning how to get over the little things they do that absolutely drive you nuts, and loving them anyways.
I drive you nuts.
Never.
Okay. I never. Well, you drive me nuts. Go ahead. Say it.
As you can see, we're not scripted. We're just going to have fun. Is that all right? All right. Falling in love. Where are we at? Staying in love.
The nuts part.
The absolutely drive you nuts and loving them anyway. Because it's true. I mean,
After the honeymoon. It's not cute anymore, right?
Yeah. Yep, and you've got to make decisions to stay in love.
You have to be intentional.
Intentional.
Right.
because no matter, we're on two different planets. And usually what I've learned is that husbands and wives are polar opposite. Not just because they're male and female, but we're attracted to our opposites. Opposites attract. So she is free-spirited, extroverted. You know, she'll come home and drop everything and just sit on the couch.
I said, kick my shoes.
Me, I got to come home and organize the shoes. Put them in order.
Yes.
Make sure everything has its place. So when she doesn't do that,
it drives you
nuts. But it drives her nuts that I'm going around putting their shoes in order. Would you just leave the shoes alone, she says.
So behind him sometimes, he'll do that, and I'm like.
All right, let's keep going. We got a few, yeah.
Did you know that?
We're just doing this for this week only, guys, okay? Not for the next few weeks, okay.
So falling in love means doing everything in your power to make them happy because seeing them smile brings you so much joy.
Yep.
So, you know, I think you do that really well, and it's something that he's taught me, and you're really sacrificial in your giving. It's blessed me. It's taught me to be a better person and a better wife. Because he's given so much without him knowing that I see and I know. And there were times that were very lean seasons that things were really tough and tight. And he was just, okay, babe, you know, take care of it. You got it. And I knew that there were times when we were struggling and he would do that. So that just blessed me. He wanted to make me happy. You know, and that's really incredible. That for me, that taught me a lot.
Yeah, in marriage, I guess early on, you want to do everything to make the other spouse happy. But over time, you want them to make you happy. And in order to stay in love for so many years, you got to just continuously realize that it's not just about your happiness, it's our happiness together. Because this next slide, staying in love means making a lot of difficult and selfless choices because of the happiness of the two of you as a team means so much more to you than your own individual desires. It's not that you ignore your desires, it's just realizing that you're not single anymore. You have another person in your life. There's got to be that give and take. There's got to be that teamwork approach, and that's a selflessness. You see, I didn't say this first service, I'll say it this service, that marriage, and I'll preach on this next week, is a mirror of our relationship with God and God's relationship with us. And the scriptures teach us that a husband is to love his wife as God has loved the church, and he gave himself to her. There is that giving of yourself. You know, women don't like the word submission. When it comes to, a lot of women don't, like, wives submit to your husbands. I say they got the easy part of the deal because guys have to be like Christ. He was crucified. Come on, somebody, right? He had to die. Us men, we have to die. Should we continue? All right, keep going. That's next week. We'll talk more next week.
Staying in love means, falling in love means allowing yourself to embrace the out of control, overwhelmed, head over heels way they make you feel. I think that for us, I'm very intentional about remembering why I fell in love with you. Because there are going to come times when there is tension, there are trials, there's trauma, there's chaos, there's a lot of things that are happening. And so I'm intentional about remembering those overwhelmed feelings. Why was it that I fell in love with him? You know, why was it that made my heart skip a beat? And so I carry that over to the next part of the next slide it's important that we are intentional about remembering. It's easy to forget.
Yep.
It's easy to forget when you're in the middle of a mess, when you're in the middle of a financial struggle, when you're in the middle of, you know, just stress and joblessness, maybe there's bills and sickness and all these things, And we have to be intentional. We were intentional the day I got married. I said, you know what? I am going to be intentional. And we had really good examples. We had parents who taught us, my parents and your parents, that taught us that no matter what, we're going to go through it together. We're going to stick with it. We're going to cry it out. We're going to scream it out. We're going to yell it out. But we're going to do it together. And so I'm intentional about that.
So we have those falling in love moments. Go back to the last slide, guys, real quick. It says, out of control, overwhelm, head over heels, way they make you feel. How many still feel that way? I knew I was going to get people in trouble today. Let's go to the next slide. But staying in love means loving them deeply, even in the moments when you just don't like them.
And it's okay to say that.
I have a woman praising God on the second row here. You can't see her. She's like, amen. Yes.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
Right? I think it's
okay. Do you like me?
I love you, but there are times when I don't like you. But that's...
Serious?
Yes. And I think it's okay because that's... There you go, stonewalling.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, so...
But you really don't like me there sometimes? You don't like
sometimes,
me?
Yes. You know.
Or you don't like what I do?
I don't like what you do and makes me not like you.
I admit, I can be cranky.
You don't have to confess
and grumpy.
Anything.
But how did we stay in love for 30 years? We just choose to deeply love in those moments.
Deeply love, yeah. And be, you know, the word of the day for me is being intentional and just be really intentional about loving one another deeply. You know, I think of my relationship with the Lord, right? I don't always perform and I'm not always great. I'm not always the perfect Christian or the perfect woman. And God loves me anyway. And he loves me despite of my mess, despite of my crankiness, my whatever I'm going through. And so who am I not to love you or not to love him when he's having a tough time, a tough moment? Women, we have our own set of challenges, but the men in our lives carry a heavy load. They do. They carry a heavy load. They have to, you know, provide and they have to protect. They have to be a lot of things to us, you know, to the women, to their wives and to the children and to the household. And I learned that a long time ago that, yes, I carry a burden, but they carry a really heavy burden as well. And we have to be sensitive. One of the things I did learn in counseling was that when Joe comes home, I kind of assess certain things, okay? So.
I didn't know that.
I do. So what I do is I make sure, okay, I know he's come home from the office, he's tired. He's probably hungry, and he just needs some time to decompress. So instead of just kind of jumping on him, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, here's a little, I back off, and I give him 30 to 45 minutes, an hour, to kind of decompress. He can go upstairs, he can shower, he can do whatever he wants, and then when he's ready, he can come, you know, we talk, and how was your day, but I give him that space. And I think sometimes as women, we're like, okay, we jump on them and we're like, you got to do this. You got to do that. I need you to do this. Here's the kids. I got to get out of here. And
but us guys wouldn't mind if you jumped on us. All right.
No.
We got home from work. All right, let's keep going.
That's not what I meant.
If he jumped on us, then that would be, you know. Okay.
Moving on.
Falling in love means joyfully embracing the sweet, easy laughter that comes with a new relationship. Isn't that true? But staying in love means making each other laugh when things are darker than they've ever been before. Laughter's good medicine for the soul. But every marriage will experience dark moments, dark times, problems, traumas, work, life, We've been through a lot, ministry difficulties, and somehow, some way, we've managed to keep laughter in our relationship. Because it goes a long way. And so how do you do that? Well, first of all, I'm thinking, like, how do we keep laughter? Well, you do fun things, but then I'm thinking, we watch funny stuff sometimes, you know, it just keeps us laughing.
Yes, and we do funny things, too.
We do funny things.
Some video. I'm only kidding.
Falling in love. So things get dark, but keep laughing. We've got a lot of content. We're, like, running out of time already. Oh, my goodness.
Got him nervous. Okay,
so what about this one? Falling in love. You want to read that one?
Means excitedly getting ready for a fancy night out together. Now, guys, let me give you some advice. You say, hey, we're going out for dinner. We're going to go out to a movie. We're going to go out, right? So then, but you expect us to get dinner ready, to get a babysitter. By the time we're ready to go out, we're exhausted. So, right? So a couple of times you've done this, and it's made me really happy, is that he's gotten the babysitter. And he's like, you know, I ordered pizza. I got food for the kids. I got the babysitter. We're going out, which was awesome because I was able to get ready. I wasn't stressed out. I was able to just kind of relax and get ready for our evening together. So that was just a little side note there.
That was the falling in love stage.
But no, that's now too.
Oh, that's now too. Yeah. Intentionality. But yes. The staying in love stage means being okay wearing sweatpants. While watching a movie and resting your head on their lap. The early days are about going out, and we try to be intentional about going out. Getting babies, date mm-hmm. night and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. there is that component that you find yourselves wearing more stretchy pants than you do your dress pants. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, you know, it's funny because we do have a little funny saying that when he comes home and he sees me like in my bun and my sweats and my fuzzy socks, he's like, this is not how I envisioned it. But
I was envisioning the other thing we talked about earlier, but that's okay.
So unrealistic. But wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I say the same thing. This is not. When he's wearing his sweatpants all day, has it shaved?
I wear sexy sweatpants.
Oh, okay.
This is not going to plan. Okay. Are we on the right slide here? Is this right, guys? Falling in love means looking forward to the next minute you get to spend together. Remember, every moment, every minute. Back in the day, we had pay phones with calling cards. I was in college. She was in college, and we would call, and we would say, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
No, you hang up.
You first.
Ready?
One, two, three. You didn't hang
you
up.
You didn't hang up. But this is what we really now, staying in love, this is what staying in love means. Thinking about the distant future with no doubt in your mind that they'll be laying right next to you.
Yes.
That is what it means to stay in love.
Yep.
That you're there through thick and thin, the good and the bad.
Yep.
The tough times and the good times. And I just want to tell you that there's more good times than bad times. There's more great times than tough times. That it's all about making decisions on staying in love. So really quick, I know we're running out of time, but what is it that helped Ruth and I stay in love all these years? It's amazing as I look back. I don't want to over-spiritualize it. Some of it will bring us practical. But number one, it's God first. I wish it could be easier said than done. I wish I could tell you it's therapy or all these other things, but it's God first. And the verse that comes to my mind is in Matthew 22. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. First and foremost, if you're going to love your spouse and know how to love them with a unconditional love, it's called agape in the New Testament, that it's a love that requires nothing in return. See, that's love. See, this culture doesn't understand that love. They understand, I love you, you love me. And if you love me, I love you. But that's not the kind of love we receive from Christ. I just read it earlier. This is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us. Yes. And that's what love is. Not that we just receive love, but we give love. And it's through our relationship with Christ, God first, that the next verse says, the second verse is just the same. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. So God first gives me the ability to love my wife. God first gives me the ability not just to love my wife, but to love myself. And the reason why some couples, they've lost the love is because they've lost their first love. And they've also stopped loving themselves. Because, is it a scripture? I'm having a mind moment here. It says, love your wife the way you love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, it'll be seen in the relationship you have with your spouse, your wife. Did it come out right? Yeah. And that's so true. If you're having this sort of problems, it first begins here. God, I love you. You're first. Give me your love, not just to love others, but to love me. And when I learn to love me, not only do I give love, but I can receive love. Right? So it's God first.
So God first, and then there's
the second commitment.
Commitment is, obviously you can't have commitment. I don't believe you can have commitment without putting God first. I believe that it's always Joe and I and the Lord. But it has to be me and God. I have to have that intimacy with the Lord. I have, because everything else will flow from my relationship with God. I can't have a successful, loving marriage if I don't have an intimate relationship with God, me spending time alone with Him. He keeps me in check. You know, there's so many times where, I'm off, and God will say, and I don't like it sometimes, but it helps me. It helps me grow, and it helps me in my relationship with you. Commitment to God first, and then that commitment with God helps me commit to my spouse, to my husband.
Yeah, I'm very proud. Over all the years we've been married, we have never, ever mentioned the word divorce.
Murder, yes.
But not divorce. How many know what I'm talking about?
Murder, yes.
I'm going to kill you. But it's so true. Like, we refuse to even give it an option. Now, let me just speak. I know we spoke first service. Let me speak to those that are in difficult or abusive relationships where there is emotional abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. You can be committed, but we're not saying stay in that relationship. You got to seek help. We're talking about, now that's a boundary, a line we've never crossed. We've never touched each other in anger. We've never cussed each other out, have we? No? Cussed each other out?
Thought about it.
We've never hit each other with objects?
No.
Because I'm good at dodging?
Okay, so let me just...
You don't have to say it.
I have to explain it now.
Okay, sorry.
1 second. Okay, because I don't like to throw things. However...
When we first got married,
I was immature... so we were actually having someone coming over for dinner, and this, he was actually
my boss,
his boss, and we were going to be planting a church in Boston. So he was coming over with his wife to have dinner and interview him. So I don't know exactly what happened, but he said something, and we were having something. I had some tape, the table set, and I took the plate. And I did like a frisbee. Whoosh. Thankfully, you have good reflexes. He ducked. Thank God. And I was so embarrassed about that. It's never happened again, just so that, we're clear on that. But it did happen that one time.
Yeah, so close call, but none of that happened in our relationship. So if it does happen in your relationship, we're not saying stay committed in a broken or a abusive relationship. Please. Yeah. This is more... husbands and wives just trying to get through marriage and stay committed to each other. Mm-hmm. So commitment, the scripture that we mentioned, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Yeah. Commit yourself to the Lord. God will act. The next thing we practice is forgiveness. So important. Forgiveness is not a one-time decision. What I've learned is that you have to live in an attitude of forgiveness where you're constantly forgiving. You're forgiving. You're releasing forgiveness. And the verse that really kicks my butt when I think about forgiveness is Colossians 3, verse 13. It says, bear with each other. What does it say, church? Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, what does it say? Forgive as forgave you. I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness like daily. It's like nonstop. I just have to forgive. We just this morning, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me. It's that way, that same attitude that we must have in our relationship. Now, I'm not saying ignore continued offenses or issues that are really causing problems. We learn to discuss that and work through those issues. But if you have an attitude of forgiveness, you can forgive the little things and even some of the big things, if not all of those big things. You want to speak to more?
Yeah. So I wanted to say that one of the things that we've learned as a couple as well is saying we forgive each other in front of our children. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I acted that way, or I'm sorry that I said that, or I'm sorry that I did that. It teaches our children that it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to ask for forgiveness. So that's something that we have definitely, taught our kids, that forgiveness is okay to ask for it, and it's okay to be wrong, because we're imperfect. We're not perfect. So we've taught them to do that.
Yeah, great. So true. That's done. That's been very powerful, because if we, have conflict in front of the kids, which we try not to, now they're adults, we still make it a point to apologize. I make it a point to apologize to her in front of them so they understand how a woman should be treated. And when they're mistreated or not treated with respect or honor, they can recognize the difference.
Yeah.
And then see that dad made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And he's working on it. Mm-hmm. So that's so important. That goes, you want to keep going?
Repair quickly.
Repair quickly. That goes to that. You want to touch on that?
Repairing quickly is, so many times we kind of stonewall. You know, we kind of give the silent treatment. We kind of walk out. We don't talk to each other.
Just to jump in, because we process conflict differently. Mm-hmm. So I retreat. I sometimes stuff it and go inwardly, and then a trigger, then I'll explode, right? So once there is conflict, I'll just kind of leave.
He goes upstairs.
Go somewhere, mm-hmm. And then I'll stonewall. Mm-hmm. Back in the, years ago would be days.
Yeah.
Would be days, which we wouldn't have connection. Now remember, marriage is about maintaining connection, mm-hmm. closeness, stickiness, and interest. So anything that comes in between that must be repaired quickly,
right? Because the longer you stall in repairing and forgiving, what ends up happening is the enemy is subtle. The enemy is cunning. So what he'll do is he'll bring someone. I know this is hypothetical, but it's happened. We've counseled couples where they've not spoken to each other because they've been upset for whatever reason, and a coworker will come in. Hey, I see that you're a little sad. I see that you're upset. And eventually that leads to emotional affairs. It leads to physical affairs. It can lead and destroy marriages. So the longer you don't repair, the longer you wait to repair, the more the enemy comes in and tries to bring destruction to your marriage. Because that's his plan, right? His plan is to separate.
Right.
So we've learned to repair in different ways. So either if we feel like there's a little bit of tension and we don't want to deal with it at the moment, we'll say a word, a funny word that'll cause him to laugh. It'll cause me to laugh. Or we'll do a funny face. We'll do something to help us kind of, we're not dealing with this right now. We'll deal with it later. Another way that we have learned to you know, repair quickly is with intimacy. And I know that many times as women, we like to hold that from our spouse because we like to say, okay, you know what, I'm not doing that because I'm upset with you. God didn't make our bodies to reject our spouses. He gave us our bodies to be able to bring them pleasure and to connect us, right? So that's one of the ways that we repair. We repair doing that, belly button to belly button.
Yes.
So ladies, yes,
that's why conflict,
try
yeah.
it. It's a so, stress reliever. It gets rid of headaches and colds.
Yeah.
And the men are like, what?
Yeah. That's why conflict is good sometimes. It's in the making up that
but
makes it.
But you're not supposed to have conflict on purpose okay. for that.
Right. We're out of time, but you guys, a couple more minutes? All right. Next one, overlook the flaws. We'll go through this really quick. We all have flaws. The longer you're married, the closer you get, the more you see. You know, the more you see, the more is revealed. And this is the antidote to that, 1 Peter 4:8. He says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers the sin. We often want to reveal the sin, reveal the flaw, like make a big deal of the flaw. But love covers sin. We talked about having fun. As one of the, you know, important things in marriage. I think we touched on that a little bit. But this last one, so have fun, right? Have fun. Just don't lose the fun. After 30 years, we're still having fun. So important. But the single most important thing that has changed our marriage and has helped us stay in love. You guys ready? The single most important thing after 30 years is this. We learn to work on me. The best decision we made is to go see counseling, but not couples counseling, individual counseling. Because as I'm learning about me and growing in Christ and finding out about my shadows, my triggers, my past, how all of that has affected me, because I often am projecting onto her my issues. That's what we do. And what we like to do or what we believe is that if you change or we think, you know, you need to change is what we think. You need to change. When are you going to change? And actually, we're going to be talking about this next week. We need to look in the mirror and just say, Lord, change me. Because as I've changed, especially these past few years, and how she's changed, the best thing you can bring to your marriage is a transforming you, a you that has been changed. And we've become more loving, more empathetic, more present. I realized so many years I didn't know how to be empathetic. I didn't know how to connect with her in emotionally. And just learning how my own emotions, taking emotionally healthy spirituality, all these things, I'm learning to just sit with her and just feel what she's feeling.
When you put the work in, when you say the hard work, it's not easy, right? We all, like I said, we all have baggage. We all have things that we have to work on in our lives. But when we put the work in, when we seek counseling, when we talk to someone who's been there, who's seasoned, and we really dig deep, and cry it out, and journal it out, and work it out, man, the fruit of that is incredible. The fruit of the hard work makes the marriage incredible, makes it amazing. Do the hard work. We encourage you. It's not easy. It's hard. But for me, I have found that anything that is really hard and worth fighting for, right? Those are things that we should be fighting for. We should be working hard to obtain.
I would, as we close, put that last slide up there. I would dare to say, honey, that after 24 years of marriage, almost 24, in June, this is the best I think our marriage has been. And we still have so much work, because I hesitate to say that, because we have so much work to do. But when we've practiced these principles, these keys, marriage gets better. Marriage gets sweeter. And that's what I just want to tell you guys. With Christ, with hard work, it's going to get sweeter. So I want you to hold, if your spouse is here today, I want you to hold their hand and just say, pick one area that you need to work on this week, or maybe two. Say, what's one area that we need to work on? Go home, take a picture of this. Say, go home and just say, honey, what can we work on? Let's pray. Lord, we pray for the couples of our church.